We meet together on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And if the Lord blesses His Word on Sunday morning, I always feel so bad for asking again. I feel so unworthy. I feel so needy. I feel so, you know what I'm saying? The Lord sent His goodness to us, and He blessed His Word to us. And I think, Lord, I'm so sorry, but I need You again. I need You again. We can't come back and meet together without His hand on us and without His Spirit. And we pray, and we try to do our best to pray, but it just does not. We're not praying like I wish we could pray. But the Lord is faithful, isn't He? He's faithful, isn't He? And if He will bless us tonight, we will be grateful, won't we? We'll be so grateful. Our Lord here in John 20, after His resurrection, He came to His disciples where they were gathered together. And He entered right into the room. It said the doors being shut. He entered right into where they were, and He said, "Peace be unto you." And He breathed. It said whenever He came in and He said that to them, He breathed the Holy Ghost on them. Can you imagine that? And He personally gave them the message that remits sin and condemns sin. You know what a gift it is that He gave us the gospel? We could be walking around with lies, couldn't we? But He gave us the message that remits sin and condemns sin. Verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Does your heart not break for him? It's just me here tonight, and unless our Lord is truly meeting with us, it's just me standing here. But that was God. Can you imagine missing that? It doesn't say why he wasn't there. I don't know if he could have been there and he chose not to come. I don't know. I don't know if he was hindered. There's so many circumstances. So many of you have jobs, right? And that's the job that the Lord has given you. That's the one he provided you with. And you have an obligation to show up. You have to be there. That's out of your control. But I don't know what his situation was here. Whatever it was, whatever the case was, my heart breaks for him. It really breaks for him. Last May in the conference in Rocky Mount, one of the pastors that was preaching in it brought a message, and every person I talked to, I mean every person I talked to, said they've never heard anything like it. All the other pastors told me that. Some of you were blessed to be there and hear it. Some of you told me that. Every person I talked to said, God descended on that place. They said his word opened up like I've never seen it. Our God went, and I missed it. I missed it. I couldn't help it. He preached it on Sunday morning. I had a responsibility to be here. I hope God blessed us that day. I pray He did. I was there Friday night, Saturday morning. But that was the only message of the weekend that didn't get taped. Only one. And I missed it. Even if that message had been recorded, God does not necessarily record his spirit. You know what I mean? He does not necessarily record. The truth of a message, you can hear a message back, and the truth of it could be a great blessing. I listen to messages all the time on sermon audio, and I hear the truth, and it blesses my heart. It's a great blessing. But God does not record his spirit for us to just call it up whenever we want it. The spirit blows where and when it listeth. When God decides to go, that's when it happens. And God chose to breathe on that place at that moment in time, and I missed it. And that still crushes me. I wrote it in my notes because I still think about it. It just crushes me. Worship services are held all the time, all over the place. And a lot of times, men and women gather together because they think they're supposed to. Well, we have to be there. We just have to be there. A lot of times, men and women gather together for their own sake. They don't go until they get in trouble. I have a need now, so that's why I'm going. And our Lord said, if you have a need, you bring it to me. I'll give you rest. You take your burden to the Lord and you leave it there. Roll your care over to him. He cares for you. But we did not come here and assemble tonight just to see what we can get out of him, did we? That's not why we're here. God's people gather together in his name. And the reason they do that is because there's no place on earth they'd rather be. There's no place on earth right now I'd rather be. God causes his people to gather together with a heart that cries this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what's deep down. The flesh tries to say, no. But that's what God's Spirit says inside the heart of a sinner. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God causes his people to truly gather together in his name with a soul that wants and needs one thing only, and that's Christ to be glorified. Christ to be glorified. When we come into this place with a heart that truly says, oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. God said, when that happens, I will come into the middle of you. That's what he said. Our doors right now are shut. The doors being shut. But if God will breathe on this assembly, and if he will give at least two sinners here a heart to cry, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. If God has done that, then God is inside this place. Is that weighty? Whenever I was studying this, I just needed a minute. I like to put Selah sometimes. Just pause right there. I believe him. By God's grace and by his Spirit, I believe what he has said. I believe we're in the presence of the Holy God right now. That's what I believe. You know, Elijah said his servant was so afraid, and Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. If God would open our eyes right now and let us see, I don't think we could even imagine what we're in the presence of right now. The man who is our Savior, the man who is our King, the one who all we want in life is to physically see him. Isn't that all we want? I just want to see him. I just want to see him. I believe right now the door's being shut. I believe he is here. I believe he's here. I believe he is everywhere. He has gathered his people together, put a heart in them to worship in his name. I believe he's right in the midst. Now, what if I was not the pastor here, somebody else was, and our dear brother, Cody Groover, made a surprise visit from Mexico to the United States, didn't tell anybody he was coming, and he popped in one night to our service. And the next time I came, I found out I missed him. I love that man. He was here. He gathered with the saints. He hugged all the brethren. He spoke to everybody. Joy was in this. Everybody's so glad to see him. And I missed it. Gabe was not with them when he came. That would be so sad. That'd be so sad to me. But how much sadder would it be to find out that the saints gathered together in one of those times when it was truly in God's name, and our precious Lord and Savior came into this place, and through the course of the message, he went and sat next to each one of his children and whispered into their ear, "Peace be unto you. My blood was shed for you. I chose you." You know, that's what his Spirit says to the heart. I chose you. I don't rejoice in election like I rejoice in hearing the fact that God chose me. I'm so thankful for election, but only because God chose me. I loved you. I died for you. And come to find out, faith grew. Faith was increased, and true peace grew. Contentment was strengthened, and I missed it. I missed it. How sad would that be? If God enables us, as it's according to his will and purpose for us, our steps, if he enables us, may God teach us all that gathering with the saints is so far above the highest priority in life, it can't even be put into words. It just cannot be put into words. Look at verse 24. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." They came and said, "We saw the Lord." 10 of them. All 10 of them. "Thomas, we saw the Lord. I will not believe." Now, Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas, isn't he? That's what everybody calls him. Faithless Thomas. And he's also known for not being with the others when the Lord came. And those two things go hand in hand. Now, it is never the intent, never, never, never the intent to put any child of God under bondage. Never. Never. The Lord orders our steps. The Lord in his providence, he has caused certain things to happen to us. There are times we can be here in his providence, times we cannot be here in his providence. And he's going to do with us whatever he sees fit to do with us, and that's his will and purpose. And we leave it right there. And with that being said, now let's all preach the word. All right? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 17. So then faith, and that's our subject tonight, the faith of a believer. So then faith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how faith comes. We all want more faith. When things come, when trials come, when whatever comes, we all want more faith. Well, here's how it comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thomas lacked faith because, here's the reason. It only comes through hearing the gospel preached, and he was not with them to hear it. Bless his heart, he was not with them to hear it. So here's the exhortation to our Lord, from our Lord to his people. Here's what he says. Look over at Hebrews 10 with me. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Let's provoke each other. Let's think about each other, consider each other, and provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe the day is approaching. I really do. I believe the day is approaching. I know with every day that passes, there's one less day. And so he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it is vital, it's just vital for a believer to assemble himself with God's saints every time God will allow it, every single time he'll allow it. The reason is because a lack of faith is called unbelief, right? A lack of faith. In our text, we saw Thomas's unbelief. He said, I'm not going to believe it. It's called unbelief. Now look with me at Hebrews 3. Verse 12. We looked at this morning in the Bible study. Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." In chapter 10, he said, we are not of them who draw back. We are of them who believe. We believe. That's what God's people do. We believe. So he said, take heed. How do we do that? How do we take heed? By hearing the gospel. By hearing the gospel. Now, let me show you something on the way back to the text. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is my favorite part right here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Isn't that relieving? Oh, man, I love that. If we believe not, I'd love to be strong in faith, but you know what? I'm a weak person. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What that means is our faith is not in our faith. Well, I need to have good faith. Well, it looks like I'm having good faith these days. Slipped up yesterday, time to increase my faith today. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in Christ and his faithfulness. That's what faith is. True faith is in him. As we talk about having this lack of faith, we get so every time we look within, it's just down, down, down. And as soon as we go back to Christ, everything gets better. True faith doesn't look right here. We're talking about having faith, and it comes through hearing the gospel. Without hearing the gospel, we don't hear about Christ. And all we know out there in the world is what we see right here, and it's just so... And hearing that gospel makes us go, and we increase our faith. True faith is in him. Poor Thomas, he didn't have it. Now go with me back to the text in John 20. Verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas is our example of what a lack of faith looks like. He's the example the Lord has given us. Let me show you four things about Thomas that are evidences of unbelief. The first one is in John 11. John 11, verse 3. "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." That's Lazarus. Verse 6. "When our Lord had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Lord, if you go back to Judea, they're going to kill you. The last time you were there, they wanted to stone you. Don't go back there, you're going to die. Verse 16, "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." I'm ready to die too, as though his death is not enough. It's going to be me and him. Not him alone, both of us. Now here's the first evidence of his unbelief. He was confident in himself. He thought, "I have strong faith." Every time I do that, every time I think, man, I am really starting to trust the Lord, here it comes. Pride comes before a fall, doesn't it? The first sign of an extreme lack of faith is self-confidence. Self-confidence. Here's the second one. Look at John 14. John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Thomas thought a lot of himself, but he didn't think enough of Christ. That was a problem. He did not think enough of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked right at our Lord and he said, "I don't know the way." His confidence was not in Christ alone, really. Christ alone. "Lord, tell us what the missing link is. Tell us what needs to be added." Faith is in Christ alone. Christ alone. If it's not in Christ alone, it's not faith. It's just not faith. Faith is in Christ alone. All right, now here's the third evidence. Go back to the text with me, John 20. Verse 25 says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas wanted an experience. And that's what everybody wants. That's what everybody wants. He wanted an experience. He put much emphasis on an experience. How many people put all their hope in an experience? I have had people tell me so many times how they were saved, when they were saved, the day, the time, what they did, where they were, an experience. They said, "We've seen the Lord." Faith says, "I believe that. I believe that." Here's the last evidence, right here in verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He put a lot of emphasis on an experience, but he put very little emphasis on worshiping his Lord. And again, that's something that we see. You know, I was saved when this and that. Well, why don't you come worship with us? I'll be there. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. He didn't put much emphasis on worshiping the Lord. That's a true lack of faith. Thomas had a real lack of faith. But God. I have nothing good to say about Thomas. I'm Thomas. But God. Verse 26 says, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you." Same message. He didn't come in and say, "Thomas, where were you?" He walked right into that group and he said, straight to Thomas. I'm sure he looked right at Thomas. "Peace be unto you." He assembled Thomas with all the others and he came again. Our God is so kind. He's just so kind. He said it again. All that a believer truly can say is thank God for his faithfulness. When we're talking about faith, that's all we can say is thank God for his faithfulness. Verse 27 says, "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." That means God gave him what he needed. Gave him exactly what he needed. Faith is not of ourselves. It really is a gift of God. Thomas could not take 1 ounce of credit for his faith, and neither can we. Not 1 ounce. It's the faith of Christ. It's his faith. He gives it to whoever he wants to, whenever he wants to. But when he gives it, it is evident, isn't it? I mean, it's evident. Thomas cried, "My Lord and my God." That's what faith cries. My Lord and my God. I'm low, you're high. In you, I see the way. I see it now. I see the truth. I see the life. Verse 29 says, "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Believed. What he's saying is, faith is not based on sight. It's not based on sight. Hebrews 11 says, "Faith is the evidence of things not seen." Isn't that right? True faith says, "At thy word, That's what it says, at thy word. God told Noah, build an ark. Noah didn't say, I will not build an ark until I see a drop of rain. It would have been too late. He moved with fear. At thy word. It's going to rain, Noah. Never has before, but it's going to. Let's build an ark. The Lord said to Peter, let's push out from the shore and let down the nets. Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. We know these waters. And now we've come in and we just finished cleaning all our nets. We just got all our work done. Nevertheless, at thy word. True faith moves at thy word. At thy word. And that brings us back to where we started. The importance of gathering together to hear his word, right? At thy word. At thy word. It's all at thy word. Verse 30 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. I would love to know what those were. Our Lord didn't record them. But when he says many, he means many other signs. Truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written at thy word. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Lord, bless us. Bless us by gathering us together. You know, if we gather here, we didn't decide to come. He gathered us. He can hinder us. He can gather us. If we're here right now, we give him the glory for it. He brought me here. Gather us together and feed us with your word. Feed us with your word. Our faith is totally dependent on his faithfulness. If we're going to come here, he has to bring us. If we're going to be fed, he has to feed us. We are totally dependent on his faithfulness. Our faith is just the evidence of his faithfulness. That's all it is. So like all those other disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Right? Increase our faith. Gather us together. Feed us with your word. Okay, let's stand together.